activated. New York, London, Paris, Munich, everybody talk about
reaching up with Don Fess. Don Fess.
This is Don Fess, and we're reaching up again right now. All together in 204 countries with great in-person guests and music.
Last week on Reaching Up, George Fox University's Clint Baldwin told Don,
as a peace and justice program, I teach international studies here at George Fox University, and then we run global studies. So we send our students around the world, and we hope that they learn from the people they're with. We also hope that they share what they know with whoever they're with, and then bring those things back here and breathe back into our community. I think you're right, but who we are as a peace and justice program, we feel Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so we are not shy about talking about that. We are trying to follow Christ and in Christ's footsteps. Now, we recognize that has been done exceptionally poorly many times in the past, almost antithetical to what we would probably think are gospel orientations that Christ talked about in redeeming and in fulfilling the law in the way that it was meant to move forward. God's mission for all people in the world. We're working at trying to embody that in a better way than it has been in the past. And we see partnership as a significant part of that, as bridge building, connecting people together as part of that. I think you're right. Being holistic is important. It's hard, though, right? Because at any given moment,
it's very difficult.
We have strengths in one area and weaknesses in another. But again, that's where we say, we can't do everything. We need one another, and it's okay if we're not doing it all, as long as we acknowledge that we're not, and say, well, these people are doing this. Why don't you go see them? They'll help there, and we can help there, and all together. I mean, to use that broad, speaking of language that has baggage, but I think is important, it takes a village. We're all better together than we are apart. I just wrote a proposal to the White House this summer, and we got it accepted, and we have joined the President's Interfaith and campus, the President's Interfaith and Campus Community Service Challenge, close to that. And what we said, so we, 200-some schools, universities, joined together that kind of said we're better together than we are apart. And at the end, Eboo Patel spoke, interfaith practitioner, and he said...
And I just want to tell you that we've had people from IFYC on air, and I know who he is.
Great. He made a quote from 1893 from the Parliament of the World Religions, a long time ago, but it's still pertinent. And it said, we are going to stop making war on one another and instead make war on the ills of the world. And that's just the kind of people we want to be here at Fox. We want to have deep theological discussions, but we don't want to have the idea of being right get in the way of loving one another, which in a sense is the most right we can be. If we're doing this, we just had in chapel today, we had a sermon on 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And if we forget all of those things, what does it really matter?
And for those people who don't know, basically, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes that if we've got a whole long list of things, including faith,
yes,
but don't have love,
We're nothing. And this is where we talk about the God who is actually co-named love. If we don't have that, then we've really missed the boat. We don't want to miss the boat. And in fact, we want to be on it, and we'd love other people to float with us and alongside us.
I don't know how to breathe. I don't know how to leave you. I don't know what to say. And who am I to say it anyway? But there is always a song. And I'll try to sing along over you. I can hear it being sung. All of heaven sings along over you. I hardly know your name.
Don's asked me a couple questions. We talked just a little bit while we were off mic here. We just began to talk a little bit about denominations, and I'm actually a strong fan of denominations, but only in certain ways, and in certain ways not. And let me explain. I'm a strong fan of denominations because they make sense, actually. If you think about us as humanity, we all have different psychological makeups. Even if just broad personality types, we talk about some of us being extroverts, some of us being introverts, etc. and so forth. Well, it makes sense then that different denominations emphasize different aspects of faith, different aspects of theology. And so that would make sense that people having different psychological makeups would gravitate towards different denominations based on that principle. That's real healthy that we provide that opportunity for people. What's not really healthy is when denominations, because they have those variations, then set up walls and barriers between one another. Instead of saying, oh, that's a healthy and helpful piece of the body of Christ, they're doing something well, which, number one, I'm not good at. Number two, I don't want to do because of my makeup, etc. Instead of saying, when we can build bridges to one another, and let's see, what's the word that I'm looking for? And basically move people. If you don't fit here, you might fit there. What a great example of community and brotherhood and sisterhood that might be. So that's that example. In a way, a university, and I'm just thinking of this right now, but in a way, a university is kind of a multiplicity of denominations all in one place put together. And so we try to represent that to certain extents by the people that we bring in. So I was talking to Don again, and just examples of people that I've talked with today about coming in to visit. One would be Erica Chenoweth, who teaches at Wesleyan University. She just wrote a quantitative study on why civil resistance works, the strategic logic of nonviolent conflict. And she was a Harvard Kennedy Fellow before and had people like Robert Jervis and Stephen Walt recommend her book, not because they agree with what she does, but because they were amazed at her methodology. So she's a person that we're going to look at bringing in. I just talked with Diane Randall, the new executive secretary of the Friends Committee on National Legislation. And we're looking at bringing her in and talking about faith and lobbying. How do they go together? How are they healthy? How can they be unhealthy? Talked with this wonderful man, David Niyonzima, who is in Burundi. In both Bujumbura and Gitega, has two different places and runs trauma healing and reconciliation services there. A wonderful, wonderful African man who we're going to bring in and talk to our students about how do you go about rebuilding society and then maintaining a healthy society in post-genocidal conflict areas. I talked with our former director today, Lon Fendel, who just returned from Haiti. He took a group of eight people there, and they did something simple but necessary as building a home for teachers who will come in and run a high school there, in the whole rebuilding process that Haiti is going through. So these are the kind of conversations we have, and these are examples of people that we want our students to be exposed to. Also, to whatever orientations. We took students, we were invited and took students to the American Enterprise Institute, which is probably more on the conservative end of the spectrum as far as fiscally, economically, from a faith orientation. But we want our students to be exposed to the continuum, and then what more healthy place could there be than to have it in the midst of a people committed to Jesus Christ on a university campus and saying, let's have these conversations together. Those are some examples of just what we're trying to engage with.
Reaching Up with Don Fess. Don Fess.
Recently, members of my family learned how powerful natural disasters can be when a tornado ripped through their town. But you know what? The Red Cross was there to help. I'm Demi Lovato for the American Red Cross, asking you to text message the word GIVE to the number 24357 and donate $5 to the Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund, where they can provide shelter, food, counseling, and other assistance to victims of disaster. That's GIVE to the number 24357. You can send up to 5 text messages, so please text today.
Celebrate the 10th anniversary of 9/11, we saw that for a while after 9/11 as well. What do we do to help people to realize the importance of acting like that, loving your neighbor when there's not a disaster, when there's not an urgent economic need? I'm speaking, of course, about the recession. How do we keep people awake and realize in this country, never mind they're trying to help people in other countries, in Africa, in Asia, in South America, that we need to be together, and not just different Christian denominations, but how about Catholics working with Protestants, Protestants working with Jews, both working with Muslims instead of just demonizing Muslims and demonizing Mormons and on and on and on. We're a very divided country. Mm-hmm. How do we sow the seeds of what undoubtedly you've been talking about with the Quaker look at the world, and with this week, if it's not delayed too much because of the hurricane, the Dr. Martin Luther King Memorial opening up officially in Washington. We're obviously not following King as a country. This is my editorial here. We're not following Jesus as a country in terms of love God and love your neighbor as yourself. What do we do about it? I mean, you're sort of in the business of of helping young minds to come up creatively with ways to bring us all together.
Don, this is, thank you for asking the question. It's a big question, but I would say this. One, of course, is always being empathetic and of your audience. Who is your audience at any given particular time? Different people start at different places. And one of the things that Jesus and so many really significant figures that we all love, Martin Luther King Jr., etc., do, is say, let's meet people where they're at, walk with them, and walk them further there. So that takes, as we mentioned at the very beginning of this interview, listening, finding out where a person is at, caring about them enough to say, okay, I want to know where you're at, and then I'll share where I'm at, and maybe we can go somewhere new together. And another component of this is, and you mentioned it, imagination. Saying that things can be different than they are. We are not trapped. The only thing that makes us trapped at all is lack of imagination, lack of creativity, thinking that things can be otherwise. We're not condemned to repeat our history, right? There's always an if there. If we don't know our history, or if we choose to not really work well and hard together to create something differently, then there's a form of we may well be condemned to repeat it. I certainly don't want to have that happen, and I certainly don't want things to get worse than they are. So, Gandhi said it a long time ago, we need to be part of the change that we wish to see. That in and of itself is not rocket science. Getting together with people and thinking that we're better together isn't rocket science. It's difficult. We don't always think the same way. We don't have the same language. But it's not like we have to really go through significantly difficult mathematical computations to figure this out. We say, okay, let's find out how we can team. What are you good at? What am I good at? And then let's move forward. Now, this does, I think, have a faith component. Really, the faith traditions of the world recognize this all around. But it also can be approached from a very social scientific, humanitarian orientation. Robert Putnam from Harvard University has written Better Together, after he wrote Bowling Alone, significantly acknowledges that we increase the goodness in our society by working and partnering together, and that it's worse when we don't. He did the longest longitudinal study on making democracy work, civic traditions in modern Italy a long time ago, and showed the difference between North and South Italy based simply upon the social interconnectivity that they had. And the more social interconnectivity you had at multiple levels increases the foundational stability and goodness of a society. Those are quantitative scientific studies that have been done and continue to be done. Erica Chenoweth did the same thing with Why Civil Resistance Works, showcasing that it doesn't always work, just like violent conflict doesn't always work. But you know what? It works better, and it works more often with less people being killed and with further democratic participation at when it's utilized. So there's that component of it, as well as there's this faith component of it that says, you know what? We can do things together. And often, a friend of mine, Leroy Barber, who is president of Mission Year, who brings together young adults from all around the states to work in urban settings, he talks about the story of the prodigal son. Jericho Road, this one. And where, you know, there's a man who's going to Jerusalem on the Jericho Road. He gets jumped by some hoodlums. And then a priest comes by and a Levite comes by. And for various religious reasons, they can't help him. They're very busy. They might become unclean, etc. Who knows? They themselves might get jumped. So they keep going. And then, of course, it's a Samaritan comes by, a person who's in represents marginalization and an outcast of the society at the time, helps the man. And takes him to a hotel, pays for his needs, says he'll even return and help him again, and comes back and I'll pay for whatever further needs he has. So there's continuity, there's sustainability, there's much connectivity there. Well, Jesus tells this story in the Gospels originally because he's asked by a lawyer who wants to self-define and make some boundaries of who is my neighbor, he asks Christ, right? And he wants to say, when can I stop being a neighbor? Now, what Christ does is he shifts the question. This is what Leroy Barber talks about. Instead of asking, essentially, who is my neighbor, we need to ask the question of what does it mean to be a neighbor? And when we ask that question doesn't have boundary limitations. It dives us deeper into vocational action. And instead of boundarying, it says it's a non-boundaried set. It's where we're headed. What direction are we moving? How do we act toward others, whomever and whoever we might be with? And I think that is the answer to your question, whether it be from a humanitarian or social scientific orientation, or whether it be from primarily a faith-based orientation. If we stop asking, who's my neighbor, and by proxy, implicitly, we're asking, who's not my neighbor, right? We start asking, what does it mean to be a neighbor? And live into that vision. We'll find ourselves in a better world, maybe even faster than we'd expect.
I think that's a good note to end on, but Clint, I have a feeling this dialogue is going to go on, and now that I'm living in Portland, it's somewhat easy to revisit some of these subjects and get into some nitty-gritty about how do we solve this problem, how do we solve that problem. But for now, let people think about who is my neighbor and how do I define that, and how much is something that we expect God to do, and how much does God expect us to take action as well. And I think all of that plays into this massive subject of what does social justice look like as well.
Yeah, God, at the core of scriptures, I think we have this, you know, am I the keeper of others? And I think God's answer is yes. And then what does the answer to be a person's keeper look like? Love. Loving God, loving neighbor. Simple as that, and as complex as that, too.
Clint, thanks very much for being with us at George Fox University outside Portland, Oregon today, and let's continue the dialogue. And thanks very much for the extremely important work that you're doing. I mean, just even heading an organization or a department that has in it the word justice and peace.
Thanks, Don. God be with you, and God be with your listeners as well.
God loves a lullaby in a mother's tears in the dead of night, better than a hallelujah sometimes. God loves a drunkard's cry, the soldier's plea not to let him die, better than a hallelujah sometimes. We pour out our miseries, God just hears a melody. Beautiful the mess we are, the honest cries of breaking hearts. honest cries of breaking hearts are better than a hallelujah.
This is Don Fass. Join us next weekend and keep reaching up. And be sure to tell us where you're listening. Write me at reachingupradio@gmail.com. reachingupradio@gmail.
This is the Celebrate Radio Network.
Radio Network.
From Seattle to Paris, Bangkok to Jerusalem.